Hi, and welcome to this episode of Cloud Native, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly podcast. Unfortunately, we experienced while recording some microphone issues when we did this at KubeCon North America 2023. The next episode will be in the usual quality, but please enjoy this episode with Volkmar and Enrico from SVA.
So, hello and welcome everyone to the Cloud Native, the Good, the Bad and the Ugly. After DevFest Hamburg last week, we now made a short trip to Chicago. And I'm here together with Volkmar and Enrico from SVA, which is funny because, yeah, we move all over the world to meet each other, but we don't meet in Germany. That's how it's usually done.
Makes completely sense.
Welcome.
Hi, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so KubeCon. How many KubeCons did you attend so far?
So far? Oh, let me count it. I think three? It's my first time here in North America. So, but I think two or three in Europe.
Yeah, I think four or five. It's kind of overlapping with the conferences that were before, like DockerCon and stuff like that.
Open Source Summit, yeah.
Yeah, so how did you enjoy KubeCon North America in Chicago?
Well, if you ask me, Chicago is like much better than Detroit last year. So I'm happy that it's in a city that's like, I mean, it's clean here. You get like nice food and it's like, it's a well-developed city and not like Detroit. Nothing against Detroit, but it's like, they called it like last year an opportunity zone. And I think that's what it is nowadays. And Chicago is like, it's super nice to be here.
When you compare to the European KubeCons, where you've been or usually to, how do you compare it? So are you rather on the European KubeCons or are you rather on the North American KubeCons?
Good question. I think it depends. I like that it is big here, so you have place. Could be that not so much people attend, I don't know. But I like this, that I go to the keynote, I have a place, can sit down and don't have to stay somewhere around there. Yeah, this is one point. Too much meals here. This is the second point for me. Yeah, and the topics. So I've seen here more products. So at Amsterdam, but it could be. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
So more vendor focused. You would say.
Yeah.
And I heard that you attended more sessions than any other KubeCon until now.
Yeah, I like this. The first time that I was of a conference, it was at the Open Source Summit, and I did the same thing each day. I tried to see all sessions there. And this time was the first time again that I can see nearly all sessions. Today was a little some problems, but yes, I see a lot of sessions. Yeah, what was great, mainly Kubernetes sessions about special interest groups or work groups. So to get a little bit back and see what is happening in the Kubernetes project. Yeah.
So Enrique, you are as me, so not so much in technical stuff anymore.
Nah.
I mean, so from the same level, but
he looks like
sessions.
He looks like.
Yeah, I usually try to not make a schedule for myself because if I do plans, they don't work out. So what I like to do is going through the solution showcase, and I mean, we're like systems integrators, so for us, it's more important to see what the vendors are doing that we're working with. What I enjoy more here in North America is that you get the more direct contact to the engineers of the products, especially for smaller vendors. So you see like the real engineers here and you get the stories that they tell firsthand and not second or third hand that you get in Europe. So that's something that's of interest for me. Besides that, I also join a couple of the talks that were given here. But it's not like planned. It's just I'm wandering around and see, okay, now I'm just attending a session or looking for rooms that look full and then just have a seat and see whether the topic's interesting or maybe something is there that I don't know. Because that's what I mostly do. I'm trying to figure out something that I have never heard of and trying to make sense out of it and see whether this is of interest for me or could solve a problem that I've seen in the past or something like this.
Yeah, so I talked to a couple of folks from vendor perspective and they also said it's different that you have way more engineers here running around.
Yeah, sure.
And it's another level of conversation happening.
Yeah.
So it's way more focused on there. But what I also found is like, you have a lot of the vendors only had like their sales team or pre-sales team here and not so much engineers. So that was like, it's really strange because you have the engineers that asking like high technical questions and you don't have engineers to answer.
So
we have changed.
I think the chance of having people like around the conference is much higher. You probably won't see like many engineers on the booth or as booth stuff. So that's also something that's different. Like this year, last year we had a joint booth together with Qumatic, and also in Europe and Amsterdam we had a booth there. So whenever you have booth shifts, you don't make it like that far out of your own space. So that's an advantage that we got this year, that we don't have that duty and that we could just fly around and see what's going on here. Yeah. But it's also like whenever you have the chance to attend such conferences, just concentrate on the things that you can't get anywhere else, and that's interacting with people. So all these sessions, if you find some of them interesting, but you don't have like direct questions that you want to answer or want answered by the speakers, just make a list of the sessions that you would find interesting and look at the recordings. But the other thing is, which you can't get outside of here, is like getting in touch with each other or meeting up teams which are international or something, or reach out to other companies and see how they are solving the same problems. That's something that you can get like just here when attending the conference. But all the rest, I mean, you can just go through documentation and YouTube videos and stuff like that. So that's nothing that you can't get somewhere else.
So, Volkmar, when you said that you managed to get into the keynotes because there were enough seats and you could actually now sit down and not stand and see the keynote. So, I mean, this year was quite heavily focused on also like the upcoming big topics, like where is Kubernetes going, was the keynote today where Tim Hawken was talking about. Also like the opening keynote regarding AI. So where would you see how this cloud native community is evolving towards in the next, let's say, like 2 to 3 years?
3 years, it's a good question. So I think, so I love this talk of Tim Hawken because he said what is necessary. So we need to make Kubernetes a stable and we have to focus on core functionalities and we have to find out what are the core functionalities of Kubernetes. So I think this is would be a point. So that we have a strong technology behind some other product technologies which can be connected with Kubernetes. Yeah, this is a point, be a point there, but I think this is currently a topic which is now possible to make it happen because we have scalable systems and scalable technologies to make this happen. I think not the other way.
The AI influence that is ever popping up and where you basically you see like trying to fit in AI. And I mean, I saw a lot of vendors that I never saw before evolving around AI. So is this something that is interesting for you or for your customers in your space? Or is there any implementation or do you look actively or getting asked by customers to look at this stuff?
This not. But I love AI. I love all topics around GPT or Bard. It is easy to use. You have a benefit from it. You can put in something. I use it in connection with my note-taking tool Obsidian. So this is easy and borderless and so on. This is good for customers. I think we found something which we need to use now and we can use and we think we can use it everywhere. So I think this isn't the point, but it is a hook to go forward with this. And we will see what will happen in 3 or 5 years around this topic. It is a topic, really.
So Enrico, you also like you have different customers in a broad space from we've never done cloud native, we are completely new with it, to customers that like, we are doing it, but we need some help, or like, we are fine, but it's good to have like second opinions on those topics. What would you say, especially when you see like the vendors that are here and the products that they are offering, what is the biggest mistake companies are currently doing when they implement their cloud native strategy?
Boy, that's a tough question. It's hard to not generalize the broad different companies and industries around there. So I think one mistake is to underestimate the complexity of going cloud native. So the promise is everything gets easier, you will get faster, you will have a better time to market and something like that. And for most like traditional companies or companies that have a history that lasts for more than like 10 years, they have like legacy platforms and legacy software and things that maybe not that easy to change anymore, but it's like not that this is necessarily a bad thing. You have to look at what you're doing and what your market is moving at and to see what kinds of things that, are that you need. So you don't have to adopt like every new technology. And especially when I'm here, it's like everyone that's from an engineering perspective at KubeCon, like the first time, they always tell me like, oh boy, I'm so much behind everything. So there's so much technology that I've never heard of it. This must be the shittiest company ever that I'm working for. And I think that's a mistake. You see all the new technologies here. There were so many startups, and that's something that I haven't seen in Amsterdam. So there's so many companies that got funding or got founded like 6 months ago, 12 months ago, or not even in existence like 2 years ago. So that's a lot of new technology, a lot of new companies that are trying to solve a problem. And I think the biggest problem that they're trying to solve is how can I get rich fast? And that's not necessarily the point that the company's looking for, which is adopting like cloud native technologies. So don't underestimate the complexity that you are investing in. Do some fundamental work to see how you can benefit of the different technologies that you find here. And yeah, take the steps at your pace. Don't be overwhelmed by how other companies are progressing on things. So take your time, look at the technologies, evaluate things, and then look at the complexity and see whether you get to a break even or not, or what kind of problems that you can get solved.
Yeah, I often like to say, don't try to find a use case for taking for the offering of the cloud native landscape. This makes sense. You have a problem, it is as always. So you have a problem and you need to solve something, and you have a technology, and cloud native technology is IT technology.
I mean, it's probably also interesting to sit there and play Legos for a while without having a plan and see how it turns out. And for an engineer, I mean, if you are here like Sin Moritz, like attending the CFPC or Capture the Flag sessions, where it's like interesting to figure out new technologies and see how they can help or what they can do. But it's also okay to tinker around thinking that it's interesting and then leaving it as and moving on, because it may not solve a problem that you currently have.
At least you will get inspiration.
So many solutions for the same problem out there, that where you say like, and I mean, everyone is doing something like a little bit different, and then you have like also the open source projects around it, and it's like being in a chocolate store where you have like 500 different chocolates and you want to try them all, but you know that you will get sick after like 10 of them. And from my perspective is, do not over-engineer. And we all know that we are tend to over-engineer things. And I think this is one of the biggest problems. And also getting the knowledge. I mean, the landscape is so big, it's overwhelming and it's hard to keep up. I mean, we have to a podcast in Germany that is German-speaking, where you do like news episodes. And I think this is really, really helpful to just at least keep somewhat up with the buzz. And I mean, if you would do like a fully fledged news episode every other week, then you would still like talk for 2 hours probably.
You can. I mean, even for us, we're struggling with finding the news and deciding on which are most interesting and which are not. And it's like, we're always missing something and we're always like looking at some point and then totally ignoring another corner. I mean, that look at the cloud native landscape. That's it. Yeah, it's so huge.
The landscape has a structure and you can put what you want. So you don't need to try everything. You don't have to think over what you really need. And this is sometimes it's not so easy, but you can use the structure of the cloud native landscape. I mean, don't start top of the left and go down the whole landscape.
And have everything running. Also, SVA is involved in the community, which is nice to see. I mean, there was a panel of the Knative project, where one of your folks was doing the lessons learned, I would say. You have is SVA in general helping or working on open source projects, and is this something that you look into?
I mean, it's like people always think that a contribution has to be like code. So there are so many more things that you can do to contribute to open source and the community. One thing is investing in projects or investing in communities. So we ourselves are a member of the Cloud Native community. So we are a partner and we pay like it's okay, yeah. So we pay something so that the Cloud Native community can exist and sponsor some projects and do that work. So that's something that we do. And another thing is whenever it comes to integrating software, we are like the ones testing things out, seeing whether the documentation works or not. And if it doesn't, also documentation can be like a good point of contributing. That's something that even you as a listener can do. When you have like a problem and you see like the getting started page doesn't work out, or you have like a new Kubernetes version that's not on the tested list but it works, maybe you just go there and create your first pull request. Could be like editing markdown file. That's also a contribution which is valuable to the developers which are probably stuck in some bugs and not wrapping their heads around the documentation. So that's something that we do. And then there's a couple of tiny projects that we support, or we are also partner with the CNCF, and there's a project called Hobby Farm. So you'll find that on github.com/hobbyfarm. That's the main repository, and that's if you're familiar with something like Instruct, say learning platform. You have like the description on the left, the terminal on the right, takes care of provisioning, stuff like that. So we decided to go in, and I think we have currently like 4 contributors there. I would say 2 full time. So that's something that we do.
And Volkmar, do you do any? Time is always like small, so
this is the problem. I always think about this, but main contributions or maybe some opening some issues will be also contributions because you need the knowledge about what is wrong or where could be some innovation. Nothing more. So times less. I always think about to contribute more regarding the Kubernetes project. So regarding infrastructure, I have, I think, a strong infrastructure background as I come from the infrastructure and do this since, I don't know, 20 years or something like that. And I think about this, but so the time and projects think against me.
I agree. I mean, contributing is hard. I'm happy that my employer basically enables me to do some work on Kubernetes and do some work in other open source projects.
It's great.
But it's always a discussion that you have with your employer, or if you do it in your spare time, you basically go for and now my wife gets unhappy because it's a Saturday evening and you should not be in this meeting or Monday evening.
To be true, you don't have just IT things as a hobby. You want to do other things maybe. Yeah, so this is...
And talking about other things that you would do, I mean, you're traveling back tomorrow to Germany, as far as I understand. So what's your plan for the last night in Chicago?
I will go early to bed because I had some headache today. So it was a hard day today. So I think I would try to take a look to some things, a comic shop with Moritz, maybe some, nothing more, nothing great, but we are here since Saturday, Saturday, so we have seen a lot of Chicago, and it's great. I will come back maybe with more time because it is a very big city. You need a lot of time to see everything. And eat everything.
That's something that we miss out. So we haven't tried deep dish pizza yet. So that's something we want to try today. Yeah. We tried it yesterday, but having a reservation in like a busy restaurant is a good idea, which we hadn't yesterday. So hopefully we can plan on that better today and have our deep dish pizza. And then tomorrow it's like collecting sweets for everyone when I'm back. So my kids also requested some Reese's pieces. So that's something that we don't have at Rewe or Aldi or something. So I will get them some. And then that's probably it.
And when you're back in Germany, what's the next conference you need to go to, or that is planned on the schedule?
There is already planned the last conference.
I think it's 2 weeks, right? It's the Red Hat Summit Connect. So there's Red Hat Summit, which is like the big Red Hat conference, and there's this Summit Connect thing where they have local versions of that. So a bit tinier, but that's in Darmstadt, and I think in 2 weeks, right?
I think 2 weeks.
End of November, basically.
Oh, nice. Yeah. For me, it's DevFest in Istanbul in 3 weeks' time.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's basically last thing for this year, and I'm super happy. And I think we are now more or less getting kicked out because they are getting very loud and moving stuff around here.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, thanks for listening in. Thanks for joining, Volkmar and Enrico. And I think we will see each other in Paris
at the latest. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, okay. Cool. Thanks for having me. Yeah, and thanks for listening. And see you. Bye-bye.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. And watch out for the following episode of Cloud Native, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly podcast, where we talk to Chiefy from CNCF and Bob from Google.